What is going on, everybody? You are listening to the J-Red Show. The Buffalo Bills defeat the Chicago Bears 41-15. Mitch Trubisky had a great game, going 20 for 28, 221 yards and one touchdown. He has proven to be a competent backup for Josh Allen and a great emergency backup plan in case Josh Allen gets injured. I didn't see this game, so I was on vacation. I went to Gettysburg, then to Baltimore, then the 9/11 Memorial in Pennsylvania. But I did watch the highlights on YouTube. Overall, I really liked what I saw from Trubisky. I really liked what I saw from the Bills in the entire first half as they jumped to a commanding 35-6 lead in the first quarter, in the third quarter. I know it's only preseason and they won't be using these game plans and these strategies in the regular season, but still, that it gets me very excited for the regular season. I am expecting the Bills to be good. Another thing that excites me is Greg Russo with another sack. That's two sacks in the preseason. And he gets me excited that he's going to improve the Buffalo Sabres pass rush, which was lackluster last year. Singletary is getting me excited that they've improved the running game. So a lot to get excited about. My only concern is the offensive line. The Bills have some issues on the offensive line. But I feel like it's a small issue, and the Bills look good, and I'm looking forward to the regular season after they face the Packers. The big news coming out of the Buffalo Sabres, Rick Jeanneret is going to retire at the end of next year. It was very sad to hear, but it is time. He's in his upper 70s. He's not as good as he used to be. And I do like Dan Dunleavy. But it's Sabres hockey is just not going to be the same without Rick Jeanneret. Just his excitement, his enthusiasm. I really am going to miss it. And it really is a damn shame that, barring a miracle, it's that he will end his career with an 11th straight missed playoff season. And barring a bigger miracle, that he will not call the Buffalo Sabres win the Stanley Cup. As most fans and experts are predicting the Buffalo Sabres to be bad this year as they go through yet another rebuild. But we should take this time to remember all the great calls Jeanneret had in his career. From when he started in the 1970s, all his legendary playoff calls from May Day to Are You Ready, Legion of Doom, Here Come the Buffalo Sabres, to Jason Woolley, The Shot Heard Around the World, to Jason Pominville's These Guys Are Good, Scary Good, Chris Drury, Who Else, and what is going to be very likely his final playoff overtime game-winning goal call, Tyler Ennis is a Hero, from 2011.
And again, it's a boys. That's taken out of the air, but kept in by Weber. Weber takes a shot, the rebound, they score! On the rebound, pumps into the net by Tyler Ennis! You want to be a hero? Tyler Ennis is a hero!
So yeah, very bittersweet, very sad, but we should all celebrate the career of Rick Jeanneret. And I kind of want to use this to transition into the next topic I want to talk about. Expectations for both Buffalo teams. A couple weeks ago, I did a best sports memories show. I went through all my favorite sports memories. And I look at the Buffalo Sabres. And if they miraculously won the Stanley Cup in 2021-2022, it would forever be my favorite sports memory. I know it's very unlikely, but hey, miracles happen in sports. Leicester City a couple of years ago. So maybe if everything goes right, the Sabres can pull a miracle Stanley Cup run. Very unlikely, but maybe. But of course, every year I want the Stanley. Every year I want the Sabres to win the Stanley Cup. Every year I want the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Every year I want all my other favorite sports teams to win the championship in their respective sports. But I also realize that I can't set the bar that high every year. Otherwise, there's no point in being a fan. Because winning a championship is real in North America is really hard to do. I'm a Yankees fan. They have more championships than any pro sports team in North America at 27. They have not won the World Series in over a decade. A month ago, I would have said it's very unlikely they win it this year, but they went on a hot streak and they're back in the playoff run. So we'll see if the Yankees can win the World Series this year and break the drought. The Montreal Canadiens have the second most at 24. I was 5 years old the last time they won the cup. The New England Patriots, they won the Super Bowl 3 times in the first 4 years of the Brady Belichick era, and then they had to wait a whole decade for their next 3. So I realized the dangers of going championship or bust. And with the Sabres, even though I want the cup this year more than any other year that I've been a sports fan, I also realize it's going to take a miracle for it to happen and very unlikely. So I'm thinking to myself, what are my expectations for the Buffalo Sabres? Well, they are very low. Well, the biggest thing I am hoping for is continued changes to the front office. There was a rumor from a legit source on SabresFans.com that Terry and Kim Pegula might be selling the Sabres to help fund the Bill Stadium. And if these rumors are true, I bet a lot of Sabres fans are going to jump up and cheer. Again, SabresFans.com, look for the username Sherm. But if these rumors are true, I will root for the new owners to fix the hockey department. If they're not true, then I will root for the Pegulas to fix the hockey department. Hiring Jason Karmanos and Sam Ventura is a start of a better hockey department. But more needs to be done. The Sabres need to hire scouts. They need to possibly hire a president of hockey operations, someone between Kevin Adams and the Pegulas. Most of us are expecting the Sabres to be bad this year. So they need to sell hope. So they need to sell hope to their fans that someday this will get better. And that's all I'm hoping for this year. Hope for next year. And hope for the future. But as far as the on-ice product, what could we expect? Now, it really depends on what Kevin Adams gets in return for Jack Eichel. But I feel like that hiring Don Granato was the right choice. And part of me feels that I want to see the last month of last season duplicated. If Rasmus Dahlin doesn't look like a train wreck like he did under Ralph Kruger, if Dylan Cousins continues to improve, if Tage Thompson and Casey Mittelstadt continue to improve, they all looked like busts under Ralph Kruger. But then looked decent and good under Don Granato. Frankly, that's how low the bar is for Sabres fans. I will view that as a success. However, if the Sabres tank next year, and some experts are thinking the Sabres will tank, they will have a shot at another generational talent in Shane Wright. These next couple drafts are loaded. And they could provide the Sabres the top-end talent they need to turn this thing around. So, however, as I think about expectations, that's why expectations are low for the next year's team. But as I think about expectations, one trap I could find myself falling into, and I'm not sure other Sabres fans will fall into it, but here's my thing. Because expectations are so high for the Bills and so low for the Sabres, I really feel like I am going to be more critical towards the Bills than the Sabres. I really should avoid this thought. But I might find myself ended up thinking this way. I could look at a Sabres game, and I could be like, yeah, well, we lost, but we outshot our opponents. Dylan Cousins got into a fight. I'm happy with this result. I consider it a moral victory. Whereas with the Bills, on the other end of the spectrum, I feel like I'm going to have the opposite effect. Now, I know the Bills are going to be good and I should enjoy the season, but I might end up saying, all right, nice win, but you gave up too many yards. You're not going to get away with that when you face Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Because while expectations are low for the Sabres, they are really high for the Bills. And I mentioned the dangers of saying championship or bust. I really feel like the fan base divided half. Yeah. I really feel like some Bills fans are looking this year and saying, yeah, Super Bowl or bust. Hopefully Rosu improves the defense enough to get past Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Tom Brady, the Bucs, and every other team to win the Super Bowl. And finally, at long last, bring a championship to Buffalo. It's like, are we at Super Bowl or bust with the Bills? I think the minimum I can accept is another AFC championship loss to the Chiefs. Because while I'm hoping and praying that the addition of Rosu and the improved defensive line and the improved running game will get the Bills over the hump and win the Super Bowl. But I will say on paper, Kansas City and Tampa Bay are better teams. The Bills, I look at the Bills' schedule, and they are favored. They should be favored to beat every single opponent on that schedule except Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Now, of course, this is the NFL. Any given Sunday, of course. Last year, the Bills got blown out by the Titans, and they lost to the Cardinals on a fluke Hail Mary. So, I'm not expecting them to go 20-0. I expect them to have a couple stupid losses like those two right there. But the question is, can they get past Kansas City and Tampa Bay and keep every other team at bay? You might be able to argue with me that Cleveland might be better than the Bills. I'll just say the Bills are better for now. I mean, there could be some surprise teams along the way. But it's safe to say that Buffalo is the second best team in the AFC behind Kansas City. NFC, you got your contenders. You got pretty much the entire NFC West. You got Green Bay. I mean, Green Bay has a lot of question marks, but they have Aaron Rodgers. Although one thing I want to take part is, in the early 90s, the NFC was the dominant conference. Well, it was a great feat for the Bills to win four straight Super Bowls. They were in the weaker conference. The NFC had a streak of like 10 out of 11 Super Bowls. But today, the AFC is the better conference. And that's another thing about expectations. Many Bills fans take pride in losing four straight Super Bowls. They're like, we may not have won one, but it's still an amazing feat. Other Bills fans I've talked to thought it was an embarrassment to lose four straight Super Bowls. Really, the hope is that a lot of people look at this NFL thing. They see the Kansas City, the Patrick Mahomes Kansas City Chiefs as the next Tom Brady Patriots, whereas this Bills team is the Peyton Manning Colts, and Bills fans are hoping to catch the Chiefs on a down year and win the Super Bowl. But I'm sure Bills fans are thinking that way in the early 90s with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas, hoping to catch the 49ers or the Cowboys on a down year and then capitalize on a Super Bowl. Well, it didn't happen. They lost four straight Super Bowls and then had to wait 25 years to get back here. So, what are your thoughts? What are your expectations for both the Bills and the Sabres? Your thoughts on Jenner retiring or the Bills preseason win? Him on Twitter, J-Red Show. Miguel Cabrera hits his 500th home run as the Detroit Tigers defeat the Toronto Blue Jays 5-3. Cabrera is the 28th player to hit 500 home runs, and he is second amongst active MLB players in the home runs behind Albert Pujols with 677. But I talk about how Major League Baseball lacks that face of the sport right now. I mean, what Cabrera did was great, and he deserves all the credit for it. But the problem with Major League Baseball is the face of Major League Baseball, Mike Trout, is on a really bad Angels team. Well, Cabrera's not on a very good Tigers team. I mean, Cabrera definitely is in the conversation for the face of baseball, but Mike Trout is the face of baseball, if he can just get away from the Angels. So, but still, it's a great accomplishment. Congratulations on Cabrera hitting 500 home runs. Around the NFL, I was looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I was thinking this could be the year they fall apart. However, the more I look at this team, they might still be good this year. They rebuilt the entire offensive line. The tackles are playing back to their strong side. Plus the addition of Dan Moore, who grows leaps and bounds with every single practice. Kevin Costone is a star in the making. And Trey Turner finally looks like he's healthy. The unit is meaner and younger than we saw in 2020. The receivers have more chemistry. The deep squad, the sophomores are stepping up. Chase Claypool, Alex Highsmith, Kevin Dostert, and Antonio Brooks will also be starters. They have a better coaching staff. Roethlisberger didn't have to rehab. Kevin Colbert's aggressively improved the roster. And the entire draft class, it looks good. And a lot of people are expecting the Steelers and the Ravens to be valued to the NFC, AFC North. But I think you should not sleep on the Steelers. Let's take the offensive line. Sure, this could be a weak link, and I'm sure there'll be some growing pains. However, this line is going to do nothing but get better as the season progresses. And you have to look at the smash-mouth attitude they demonstrated in the first two preseason games. For those who bashed the O-line, keeping DeCastro's white in play due to this injury, overpaying for Vili and Filler, and milking out of the year of Pouncey. And they had the money to bring back Juju, Ingram, Schobert, and Turner. The Steelers are underrated because they have an old, immobile quarterback. So, we'll see. Roethlisberger is the biggest question mark. But if Big Ben proves that he still has something left in the tank, the Steelers could be dangerous. The Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the Detroit Lions 26-20. Mason Rudolph was 13 for 18, 138 yards. Roethlisberger was 8 for 10, 137 yards and 2 touchdowns. So yeah, I think Roethlisberger still has something left in the tank. On to soccer. Arsenal has signed Albert Lokonga. And I think this is a great move. I think this will help Arsenal. Arsenal lost to Brentford, but there were a few redeeming qualities to their performance. Pepe was again anonymous on the right flank while Partey was still absent. A lot of his midfield lacks power control. Lugano making his second start alongside Xhaka endured an afternoon to forget as he failed to get to grips with his opposite men. Defensively, it's clear that Kolenga and Blega midfielders needs time to settle on this Arsenal side, wait for the returnees and new recruits, and adapt to the life of the Premier League after arriving at the Enerchuk. It truly is a massive step up. He both needs time to book. There's reason for optimism. His intelligence and possession is evident. While there were some delightful touches during the early stages which showcased his swagger and confidence and considered technical ability. In time and a deal of a party alongside him, Lugano should blossom into a quality midfield talent. So, what are your thoughts on sports? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow, and I will see you later.